Bring Christian greetings to each one this morning. Aren't you glad for the promise that there is rest by and by? Well, these days, our time of toiling will be over now. The old song says we'll work till Jesus comes. One young fella just started working for us here a while back, and I asked him how he was doing. I believe it was yesterday, and he said, "I'm tired." And I thought, that's sort of the way a lot of us feel. Sometimes I'm tired, I'm just beat, and you feel like you can just need to go home and crash into some soft chair and try to relax. Well, I'm glad there's rest by and by. I'd like to look, if you want to look with me, over into Ephesians, the 4th chapter. Ephesians, the 4th chapter. I was going to ask you if you knew what Ephesians 32 was. I figured there are a number of you that have memorized it, and probably the children too. It's one of the best verses. I was thinking this morning, you know, I think this is just one of the best verse chapters in the Bible. And I remember just last week I was looking at I think, well, this must just be my favorite chapter in the Bible. I can't figure out which is my favorite. It just seemed like every one of them, they're just all wonderful. And I'd like to start, I want to read the entire chapter, but I would like to start with that 32nd verse. And I'd like to ask us each one as we read that verse to look back over the chapter as we go down through it. How do you get to the place where you can be kind one to another and tenderhearted and forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven us? And you say, well, that's just easy, that you know. Well, keep that in your mind, and then let's look, starting back at the first part of the chapter. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. And I was going to have prayer before I started, so I think I'll stop right here and we'll have prayer and then we'll go on. Father, we thank thee for thy mercy to us today. We thank thee for what we've already been listening to and sharing together, the hymns of Zion that we can sing together. We just thank thee, Lord, for the fellowship we can have with those that love God and the wonderful hope that we have of that rest by and by. Thankful, Lord, that thou canst live within us and work through us and then come for us one of these wonderful days, the last great day when the trump of God will sound. Time will be no more. And we can lay these bodies aside and be lifted into the skies to meet thee in glory. We just pray that thou wilt take this scripture, apply it to our hearts, and help us, Lord, that by the grace of God we shall be faithful to thee. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's start with the first verse again. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. And I think that this first verse, you could take and point right back at the last verse and say, there it is. There is what we're called to do, is to be kind one to another. Someone already mentioned this morning, loving God with all of our hearts and our brother as ourselves. And you say, well, he is so hard to love. Or you just don't know how she is. She talks about me and she runs me down and You know, we can say this and we can say that, but the Bible says to love our enemies. And in the Gospels it says loving them from the heart, not just loving them, saying that we love them. With all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love. Lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And then I'd like to look, starting in verse 11, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, into a perfect man, under the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Now, it looks like there's some growing to do from verse 1 to that verse 12. And verse 13 is talk about the perfecting of the saints in verse 12 and coming into the unity of the faith and knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, into the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Now, if I'd ask a show of hands this morning, I'm not going to. How many of you are completely mature in Christ and you're a perfect man and a perfect woman? You've reached the top and you've grown, you're full grown spiritually. I hope that nobody would even raise their hands. We can have a pure heart. We can have a clean, pure heart. And when we are born again, we're a real Christian. We're all the way a Christian. We're a born-again Christian, we are saved. We're ready for heaven. But at that point, we start growing spiritually. And we start maturing. We start in putting out fruit. And it's good. It's that which others can partake of, the love and the joy and all the things that go with it. And they find that this is good. This is the real thing. There's just something about a Christian that shines out. I don't know what it is. Well, it's Jesus living within, coming in to us. Then he can work through us, and then we're ready for him to come for us. But it starts off with lowliness and meekness and with long-suffering and forbearing one another in love. It starts off at the foot of the cross. It starts off when we find that we're nothing, and the Lord is everything. And he has everything for us, and we can do nothing. But he can do everything for us, and he can take care of every single need that we have. The wonderful thing. And he can help us to grow spiritually. And he tells us in verse 14 that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, and by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the love and truth, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Jesus is the head. And I love the different songs that we sang that pertain to Jesus. Well, there was a little course, just a short little course that we learned in a little course book back when I was just a boy. And it came to my mind, what is our vocation? Why are we here? We could have a lot of different answers for that. But this short little course says, my desire to be like Jesus. My desire to be like him. His Spirit fills me. His love overwhelms me. In deed and word, to be like him. To be like him. And in dealing with people, I guarantee you, I think all of us should realize how far we have to move up. We've just, all of us probably, and I shouldn't just say all of us, I just talk about myself. I've got a long ways to go. To be kind one to another, tender-hearted, starts back in our home, doesn't it, with the people that we're around so much that we get so used to them that it's, if we're not careful, when the stress is on and the day is long and we're tired, and it's easy to have sort of a think, well, they should know that, and a little quick word that sort of hurts, and then, oh, I wish I hadn't said that. And, you know, it starts right back there with the ones that we love the very most. Works right out in the community, in our congregation here. And then works on out there to our neighbors. I was sitting at a home last night, and a contractor very hard to get along with, and he wanted to talk. So I went out, just sat down with him. He and his family sitting there, and you know, there's always two sides to a story. And I can hear the sides of the ones interacting with him and how bad he is and all the things he says and how his family is and how they say. And as I came in, lots of children playing around, some boys out target practicing with arrows, getting ready to go deer hunting, different things that's going on. You know, the Lord sometimes deals with people in different ways. And this man seems to have been a really hard to get along man. And so he sort of began to pour his heart out to me. He just got out of the hospital. He was not in very good shape. And said he didn't know how long it's going to be. He gets to go back to work. And some way, he got an infection in his jaw. They said it was tetanus, just to be plainly, they call it lockjaw. And his jaws locked tight together. They couldn't pry him apart. They were locked tight together. And he was really in bad shape in the hospital. And this all swelled up with a horrible infection over here on this side of his face. And I had just thought, before I go out there, you know, he owes us some money. But I mentioned to one person, if I can do something that would help that man forget the money, if he never pays me, if it was $100,000, so what's the worth of a soul? Even a mean, cantankerous person. But he wasn't mean and cantankerous, and we were all talking. But there were things that had been like barbs from some that I think he should have been able to expect more from. Like telling him, it's none of your business. And just shut up. I guess he didn't expect that from people that profess the name of Jesus. And I'm not going to say I'm sorry. That's really quite a statement, isn't it? But we think when we face people out there, we think of them out in the world, but what do they see within us? Do they see Jesus living within us every day? Do they hear this kind one to another? Do they see this tender-hearted person that realizes that they're not where they should be maybe, and they're doing things that are honoring and cantankerous, and yet the love of God reaches out to them and somehow gets a hold of their heart and touches them? We can't do it ourselves. We can't think we're so good and so kind and tender-hearted, but it's only if the Lord can pour his presence out through you and through me, and we can simply be just a channel that God would be able to touch that precious soul. That soul that's worth more than $3,000 or $4,000 that maybe they owe us, or $100,000 or $1,000,000 or whatever it is. Forgiving one another. The Lord told us how many times. Peter asked him, how many times should we forgive him? And he told him a whole lot of times. We couldn't even count him. I'm sure we wouldn't, but we'll keep track now. Okay, I've already forgiven him 49 times now, times on. So I'm about to the end. Sometimes we figure that I've forgiven that man 2 or 3, 4 times, and he's still doing the same things he always did. Well, how many times has Jesus forgiven us, and we've found ourselves right back at the foot of the cross begging for mercy because we've been right back where we were before? And maybe we just said some sharp little words that really hit our hearts when we thought about it. Oh, may the Lord help us that we'll keep a tender heart. We'll be touched by his presence, and that we will recognize what Jesus has done for us with an ungodly bunch of enemies to him, the ones that nailed him to the cross. And as we had the same thing within us, that we can realize that it was Jesus that paid it all when we were ungodly sinners, without God, without any hope in this present world. He says, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. And that verse just before this one, and if you just sort of back up, if you read that complete chapter, and I'm not going to this morning, it speaks about the old man and the new man, and putting on the new man and putting off the old man, putting on the new life. We can only do that with Christ within us, and putting off the old life, the old tempers, the old anger, the old malice, the old pride, and all of those things that make us like verse 31. And he said, let all bitterness and wrath and anger, every bit of it, not a little bit of it, don't give any provision for the flesh, all clamor and evil speaking, and put away from you with all malice. It really strikes my heart, and I know maybe they don't mean it, but I have heard some people say, oh, he made me so mad. You ever seen them say that? And you think, well, you know, they just meant I was aggravated. Didn't sound very good. The Bible says to put away all of that bitterness and wrath and anger. And when they said, he made me so mad, it's just like they could grind their teeth and chew them up. And it looked mad. If they felt as mad as what they looked, maybe they're just trying to make an impression for everybody to stand around. I don't know. But the Bible says for us to put away all that stuff. Get rid of that. The only way we can do it is with Christ within us, living within us. And then the last verse I'd like to just leave with you here, and one of the most important ones, the Holy Spirit has taken his residence in the heart of every saint of God. And in that 30th verse, he says, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed unto the day of redemption. Let me tell you what, we need to be sensitive to the voice of God. If we trifle with the voice of God, and God speaks to you, he speaks to me, deals with us about what our needs are, and we ignore him, and we trifle with the Holy Spirit, we're trifling with the one that can seal. Right, the last part of the verse there, he said, seal unto the day of redemption. He's the one that we come through Christ to God, and the Holy Spirit is the avenue that we get there. And if the Holy Spirit withdraws after he's speaking and he's dealing with you and he's calling you, when he calls, that's when you need to answer. And young people, if you have never given your hearts to the Lord, listen, it's not a little thing when God calls. When you hear that, when you hear him call and deal with your heart and call you to be one of his children, answer that call. Be quick to answer it. And we who are already Christians, may God help us to be sensitive, tender-hearted, and kind, and in such a way that the Holy Spirit can gently tug at our heartstrings, and we're so quick to be obedient to him. And in the way that we treat others and act one to another, be ready to back up and say, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said it that way. Be ready to eat humble pie, so to speak, that we all might be gathered together over on the other side through the work of God, the faithfulness of God, and living a holy life for him.